I thought, with it being Remembrance Sunday, I'll talk about things that we need to remember, or what the Bible says we need to remember, maybe in some things what we need to forget. So we're just going to have a look around the subject of, can you remember? And when you think about when you were young, and think about things like sweets, you can remember all the sweets that you used to have when you were younger, well, we can. And they seem to have sort of made a comeback in the last few years, aren't they? Like blackjacks and fruit salads and, you know, fizzy lollies and refreshers and Palmer violets and all those sort of things. When you think about things in the past, you can remember them, can't you? Now, if you asked Diane who had got the worst memory in here, she would say me. And she would probably be right, because I have got a terrible memory. If I put something away safe and then try to find it the day after, I might as well not bother, because I can't find it. Terrible memory. There was an old couple that the memory was getting really bad, and they decided they would go to the doctors to see what the doctors could do about it. And they offered the various treatments and various tablets, what they could have, and they went off home. Had a good night's sleep, and then that morning, his wife said to her husband, "I fancy some ice cream this morning." She says, "What we'll do is, because we're struggling to remember things, we'll write it down." So she says, "Well, I want some ice cream for my breakfast." And he says, "Well, I'll go and get it." She says, "Well, are you going to write it down?" He says, "Oh, I'll not forget that." He says, "Well, I want strawberries on it as well. So do you think you better write that down?" He says, "Oh, no, I'll not forget that." He says, "Well, I want it topped with whipped cream as well. Do you think you can remember that, or are you going to write it down?" He says, "I'll remember it." Getting quite annoyed. Anyway, 20 minutes passes, and he comes up with bacon and eggs. Puts it on her knee, and angrily she says, "You forgot my toast!" Think about that one. That is me. I can do that. Another couple was having dinner with the friends of theirs at their house. And as they do, once the meal was over, the ladies go into the kitchen either to have a chat or to wash up or whatever. And the men were left at the table to chat to each other. The first man says to the other, "Well, we went to a restaurant this week and it was absolutely fabulous. The food was beautiful." So obviously the man says, "Well, where is it? Where's this restaurant? What's it called that you went to?" And the first man thinks about it for a while and thinks, "Well, I can't actually remember. I don't know where it is, what it was called." He says, "You know those flowers what you buy someone that you love? You know, the ones with the thorns on?" And his mate says, "Oh yeah, roses, you're talking about Rose, aren't you?" He says, "Yes." He turns around to the kitchen and shouts, "Rose, where's that restaurant that we went to at the week?" Forgot his wife's name. That could be me as well, shortly. Terrible. But, yeah, we can make light of remembering things, can't we? But Remembrance Sunday is all about remembering those who gave their lives in the war. And as Roger says, those that have been injured, you know, those that have lived their lives ever since with injuries and things wrong in their lives. And rightly so, we should remember those things, shouldn't we? Those people, the things that they did, the things that they went through should be remembered. And that's what history is all about, isn't it? That's why we write things down and we call it history, so that we don't forget. I thought it would be good, as we're thinking about remembrance, to look at some scriptures which talk about remembering or forgetting things. Now, all these three scriptures which we're going to look at this morning, I've spoken at length, even one individual verse in some of these scriptures I've spoken, done a full sermon on. So it will only be brief this morning on that I'm going to touch on these subjects. The first one is from Psalm 137. If you come to the Bible study, you'll know we've been looking at Psalms. And as we've been looking at Psalms and we're flicking through the pages, some of the things, you know, get into my memory again. I think, oh, I'll have to preach about that one day again, because I've probably preached about most things. And I've preached on this psalm before quite a lot, the first few verses. We're going to look at Psalm 137, verse 1 to 4. You'll know the lines well because of the song as well, probably. "By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it, and there those who carried us away captive asked of us a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's songs in a foreign land? These verses talk about God's people remembering the good times whilst being in the midst of trouble, unrest and slavery. It couldn't get any worse than that, really, could it? Being taken away from your own country captive and made to be slaves and work and everything that you had plundered. The Israelites were in captivity in Babylon, made to work, and all their belongings had gone. And they remembered Zion, the place where they were blessed by God, the good days when things were much better. And it made them cry. It made them weep. More than that, in verse 2 it says, we hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. They said they had hung their harps. They could no longer sing songs of praise or even think about worship. They were so depressed. And to make it worse, those who took them captive were ridiculing them, saying, sing us one of your songs now. And their response was, how can we sing praise here in captivity? We're too sad. There were tears as they remembered how blessed they were a few years earlier. Now they had nothing, not even a future, it seemed. But God had a plan which they knew nothing about, and God's plan was working in the background. And maybe as we remember days and weeks and even years past, we may think it was a lot better then. Things were good then. I wish we were still in that time. Have you ever thought that? That sometimes, oh, I wish I were back at that time in my life. Things were a lot better then. Life seems to have got worse. When you think about life, and even me, when I think about my life, and probably you younger ones as well, life seems to have a cycle of highs and lows. It never seems to stay level, does it? You never get to the top and be happy and be happy all your life. It doesn't work like that. It never has for anybody, I don't think. Life is a cycle of highs and lows. When we're in the highs, life's good, and we sometimes don't realise how good it is until it goes bad. You just like, when it's good, you just drift on, don't you? You think, life's life. But when we're in the lows, we wish for the highs again, don't we, and think how good it once was. Well, if you or me find ourselves in the lows, remembering much better times, then remember this. God has a plan which we can't see. And even if we can't sing or praise or even see a future, as these people couldn't, God has our plan for our liberation and for our restoration. And it's only a matter of time before these things come to pass. The Israelites, if you like, within a few chapters, were released from captivity in Babylon. God's plan came to pass. The second one that I'd like to briefly look at this morning is Isaiah 43, verse 18 and verse 19. Spoken quite a lot about this one in relation to, you know, God restoring his people and his church. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19 says this, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. These verses talk about not remembering former things or forgetting them. And this is God saying the things which are past are over, and you can't do anything about history, can you? We can't change history. It's done and dusted. But we need to be looking for the new things God is going to bring and to do. People like studying church history, I know Dave does, we can think about past moves of God in our countries and churches and even in our own lives, and we can learn from them. But what really matters is what God can do in our land and churches and lives now and in the future, because the past we can't do anything about. It's gone. So time is better spent thinking about what we might be than what was. Verse 19 says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make roads in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." When God does a new thing in our churches and lives, it's vibrant and it springs up. We're not going to miss it because it'll be so brilliant. It'll be so beautiful. It'll be so clear. And it'll make us go, wow, we needed that. And it brings with it, as this scripture says, a way forward. You know, it prepares a way, a road, a door opens, a door closes, a route becomes clear that we need to take as a church or as an individual. It brings with it a future plan. You can see a little step, but you can also see something much bigger coming. Yeah. It brings with it these rivers of blessing that it talks about that changes dry land to streams. It brings with it a change. Things aren't the same again, nor ever will be the same again. And we realize God is doing something not only new in our lives, but something awesome, life-changing, and relevant to the stage that we're in our church and in our lives. When the plan starts to be revealed and things start to move, then God lifts us out of our depression and sadness and praiseless existence sometimes. Brings us from a futureless life into a new era of life and blessing and service, maybe even better than we've ever known in the past. Yes, can you see it? Can you feel it? That is what God says in this scripture. Can you not see what I'm doing? Can you not feel what I'm doing? Well, maybe we can't see it at the moment, but be sure it's coming. And it's a time of refreshing and restoration and revitalization. Look to and pray to God for it, even though we may not know it and what it is at this time, but it's coming. And the last one that I want to look at this morning is from Jeremiah 31, verse 33-34. Everything we know about God says that he doesn't forget. And someone who's created everything in the world and holds it all together, you know, by his words, doesn't forget, does he? But yet in scripture, in this one particular scripture, it tells us that God does forget something. And we're going to read that now. I find it amazing that a God that knows everything, beginning to end, makes himself forget something. Let's have a look where it is. Jeremiah 31. And verse 33-34. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities and their sin, and I will remember no more. That is the word of God, isn't it? And God is saying that he's not going to remember something. It talks about when God's Spirit lives in people's lives, and it is a prophecy of the coming of salvation, really, through Jesus' redemptive gift. Saved by faith in Jesus, not by law. We live under grace, don't we? Yeah. Forgiveness of sins, because Jesus paid the price, and we recognize that and ask for the forgiveness from God. And as we truly seek forgiveness, God pours out mercy and grace, yeah, and forgives us, doesn't he? Amen. And at the end of verse 34, we find the proof that God is capable of forgetting something, even though he's such an awesome God. He says, I will remember them no more. And he's talking about our sins, sins that are truly forgiven and truly repented of, God remembers no more. Sins that we truly repent and bring to God, he can forget. The amazing thing that not only are our sins forgiven, but God, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, makes himself forget as though our sins had never happened. They've gone. Like saying, what sin? I can't find it anymore. It's been erased from history. In our own lives, when we think about the things that we've done wrong, maybe even today, or things in the past, a long way in the past, the devil has a habit of dragging up past sins and saying stuff like, you can't be forgiven over that. God could never forgive that. But that's not how God works, is it? A sin truly repented of and brought to God is eradicated from history by God, not just forgiven, but forgotten. No longer had a place and didn't and doesn't exist. It never existed as far as God's concerned. I'll remember their sins no more. That's what God said. Yeah. How can a God who knows every second of every person's life in creation forget anything? Well, he chooses to forget, and he makes himself forget, and he wipes the slate clean. It's gone. It's done. It's all new after that. Not that we won't sin again, but those particular sins, what we've rightly repented of, are forgotten. So in recap, if you find yourself in a sad, praiseless existence due to life circumstances, then look to God, because he can bring times of liberation and restoration. He has a plan for your life and your future. Try to forget the things gone by and look for the new things God is wanting to do in your life. We can be so backwards looking that God can't walk us forward, because we would be walking backwards. We have to look the other way and wait for his lead, his new blessings, the springing of his plan for our future, because there is one for all of us. And remember that past sin has been dealt with, and we have to move on with God. He's forgiven them and forgotten them. Now we need to forgive ourselves and ask God to help us to forget the past, so that we won't be distracted from the glorious and blessed future God has for us and wants us to know and achieve and have. Amen.